be anything that we can be because we sense such a kinship with what God is doing here. Just a quick word about my brother had gone through this test period where he did have a large stroke. I don't know if I'd like to say it's a massive stroke because that can be used in the wrong way. But he did have a stroke. It happened when he was on his way to Jordan. He was flying through Toronto. And it happened to be while they were on the runway, the airplane was on the runway just ready to lift off. If it had been another 4 or 5 minutes, it would have been gone. And the man that was traveling with them just noticed that there was a somewhat consistency in his speech and things that were happening. So he notified the attendants, and then they called Gloria, who's his wife, and his son, Tim, and they just felt right away that he should get off the plane and insisted that he would get off the plane. Even young Tim, if you knew him, he insisted that his dad would be taken off the plane. And finally, they decided that they would. They turned the plane around, brought it back to the airport. It took a fair amount of time. They had to get all their luggage off, got him off the plane, and took him directly to the hospital. And that was God, I'm convinced, in his life, because God has a plan for him that's not yet finished in a long life to do the will and purpose of God in everything that he does. But there are some things, I believe, that he maybe had to be made known to him, and God was working all this out. Now, we were with him every step of the way over in the hospital, and Gloria and Ted came and stayed with us, and we were going back and forth and helping the best way we could in the city. And the doctors that were looking at him were quite amazed because he wasn't acting like he had a stroke. They were saying he had a stroke, but he wasn't demonstrating those normal symptoms. He could move all his arms and all his legs. He could stand up. He could talk. He could do everything. In fact, he thought there's nothing wrong with himself. He said, I'm perfect. There's nothing wrong with me. But anyway, they were amazed. So quite often, you know, they do those tests and they would pick up one leg and say, can you hold it up for a minute? He would hold it up. They'd say, pick up the other leg. Can you hold it up? And pick up his arms. And he was responding very, very well. And then the doctors had said to us, it was so strange to them, they said, because he should have lost use of his limbs. And he also should have been unconscious, the doctor said. But he was never unconscious. And I believe that God is doing a work in his life, and we need to pray together to that extent, believing that God will do special things in his life. So we were able to get him on an airplane and sent back to Halifax. He's now in the hospital in Halifax, and they're doing what they can do to help there. But I believe the great physician is doing the most work. And we know, don't we? We just know, we know that God has his hand on us, and he's still the healer today. And it's such an encouragement to us. I was thankful to the Lord that we were home and we were able to be involved in it and help the best way that we could and keep our spirits together in faith, believing. Amen. Because the greatest day is still upon us. God has a purpose, not only for Pastor Ted, but for every one of us as we fulfill God's plan. So thank you for your prayers and the time that you spent believing for him, if you heard about that already. This morning, then, briefly, I want to share to you, again, from the Scripture, I want to talk to you about the faith of the seed of Abraham. Now, the reason that I'm saying this to you, because it is a very special understanding in the Scripture that we must grab onto in being the seed of Abraham. This is important because the Scripture refers to it. A lot of people think they believe some things about faith, but they don't really understand what the intent of this is. And so I wanted to share this with you again this morning, believing that God will help us in our faith as we walk together and be what God wants us to be in this particular hour that we live. The Scripture that I'm referring to is in Romans chapter 4, verses 13, 17, and 18. I'm going to read this to you. And then we'll be reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, can I stop for a moment and just take a few of those words and help you to understand how important they are? The first word I want you to notice is the word promise. When God gives a promise, he keeps the promise. Would anybody agree with me? Lift your hand. When God speaks and promises, He will do what He promises, or He's not God. God will always complete His promise. Now, here's the promise. There's a promise here that comes from God. And the promise that came to Abraham is that he would be the heir of the world. Now, listen, church. That may sound like a big promise, but it's important to understand that the plan of Jesus is to redeem the world. And when we lose sight of that, we get a narrow vision of what needs to be accomplished. Jesus came to win the world, and He gave the promise to Abraham that he would be the heir of the world. Secondly, He says it's not to Abraham alone, but it's to his seed. Now, personally, I think this is really important. Really important, because scripturally, I will show you this morning that you are called to be the seed. The seed of Abraham. And so the promise was not only given to him, but it's given to you. If we understand that and walk in it and keep it in our spirits. It was to Abraham and his seed, not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, I must be careful when I say this. Faith is righteous living. The righteousness of faith is made known to us here in the Holy Scriptures. Faith is right living. When you live a life of faith, you live rightly. And that life of faith will call you to live correctly. The very purpose of the Holy Spirit is to keep us living purely. But it begins in faith, for faith is righteousness. That's what the Scripture is showing us. So the proper way of living is to live the life of faith. Faith always pleases God. And that's what God wanted us to see here and gave us in the Holy Scriptures. So there's a promise from God. It came to Abraham and to us. And it's the righteousness of faith. Now this is important for us to see, because a church like this that has been taught in the principles of faith for many, many years need to understand that this is right living. This is right living. It's righteousness. That's what righteousness is to live the principles of faith. And that's what will keep us in the purposes of God. It goes on to say, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. A few things we should recognize there. I have made you, he said to Abraham, a father of many nations. And of course, when that comes to Abraham, when we understand that we are his seed, it comes to us too through faith in Jesus Christ. In the presence of him who believed, God is where this was made, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. And that's why we are a people that believe in the supernatural, saying that God will heal, God will restore, God will save, God will do something, God will bring to life what is not alive. Amen. And that's the principle of faith that we must understand. He goes on to say, who, referring to Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of nations. According to what was spoken. You notice that? It's according to what God says. God spoke it, and he believed it because it was a promise. And it says, so shall your descendants be. Now, I still believe, church, that God is preparing his greater church everywhere, including here, for an ingathering. An ingathering like the world has never seen yet. And that's why God prepares the church properly in faith, and there's leaders who grab onto it and walk in it all the days of their life. Now look at this scripture in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26-29. Do we have it up here? Can you read this all with me? Read it aloud with me, everybody. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew or Greek. There is neither slave or free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, how much clearer could it be that we are Abraham's seed and we are heirs of the promise? This is God saying that He wants to redeem everything that you've believed for in proper faith. And if you believe for your family to be saved, God is in the process of working to bring them to Himself. And God wants to do a thing like we have never seen before as we trust Him will accomplish this and bring about His purpose. I just returned from a trip to Korea, or both Pastor Elaine and myself were in Korea. In fact, we were in Korea for 10 days in ministry. We came back for one day. Then we went to the Bahamas for an apostolic gathering where they came together from all the Caribbean islands, and it was absolutely amazing. And then after that, we made a trip down to Florida where my son was installed as pastor of a church in Florida. Most unusual things happening, but God doing amazing things. And we just saw one miracle after another as God is leading us on. But again, God began to speak to me about these principles when we were in Korea. You should have seen the praying church again. You see, when you hear of the events that are taking place in Korea, and everybody's saying, oh, well, if this should happen, if, you know, the leader of Korea would really do what he says he's going to do, and if Trump will only do what he says he's going to do, and all the stuff, and maybe it won't work, maybe it'll work. People are going back and forth and questioning all kinds of things that have happened in Korea. But the thing that I want you to understand and grab this morning is that we have had the opportunity for 33 years of watching the praying church in Korea. And the praying church in Korea never gives up on the fact that God spoke to them that there would be peace on the Korean peninsula, and that the gospel would not only spread through South Korea like it has, but it would spread through North Korea. And they believe that there will be peace to the place that the economies will work together. Now, there's miracles that are happening right now that I believe are a result of people who believe what God said. And that's why it's important for us to understand that we are called to believe what He said. Now, the promise was we would be the seed, and our inheritance would be the earth. That's talking about all the people of God everywhere in the earth. But we're a part of that understanding that Jesus wants to redeem people. And He wants us to be involved in that in everything that we do. So again, when we were in Korea, I just say this to help you understand how it works over there in the praying church. We were sent to a satellite church to preach. Now, we've all talked before about this large church, Yoido Full Gospel Church in Seoul, Korea, where Dr. Cho has pastored for many years. It was their 60th anniversary when we were there. And they say now there are 860,000 people in the church. It's getting pretty close to a million. Very difficult for some people to believe. But we witness these things with our eyes because people have been believing God. And to show you how God works through all the giftings, because Dr. Cho is getting up in years, there's a younger man that is now pastoring the church, and he felt that they should establish satellite churches all around the city to help the growth keep on going on. And so we were sent to the church. My wife and I were sent to a church that had approximately 15,000 to 20,000 people in it. And on the way, I was supposed to speak at the 11 o'clock service, and on the way in the car, they told me I was supposed to now speak at the 9 o'clock service, as well as the 9 o'clock service. Anyway, the Lord directed us. But when we got there, to our amazement, they told us that there were 7 services there on Sunday. One at 7 o'clock, one at 9 o'clock, one at 11 o'clock, one at 1 o'clock, one at 3 o'clock, one at 5 o'clock, and the last one at 7 o'clock in the evening. And to my amazement, there were 7 different preachers on Sunday. So it wasn't about one person. When are we going to get this? It's not. So there's 7 different preachers in 7 services. It just happened to be I was there as a guest, so I was there for 2 of them. It went further than that. They had 7 choirs in this church. 1 for each service. And they were the most gifted, well-trained choirs that I've ever listened to. And none of them were in competition one with the other. Isn't that neat? 7 different choirs. Along with that, there were 7 separate orchestras. Over in Korea, they really train in music. And they have a different orchestra in every service. But God again so spoke to me about the purpose of His plan in faith. That God wants us to believe that we are the seed and the seed won't fight with one another. It's not about who's the greatest. It's about Jesus being the greatest and God will build His church. And that's what God was doing here this morning, even in bringing deacons before you as He proves His purpose. And His plan. We went then over to, they had a gathering at the soccer stadium. 70,000 people gathered together to pray for peace on the peninsula. And this prayer didn't take place just for an hour. It took place all day long. And everybody just believed God. And they so believed that they are seeing what God spoke to them. Years ago, God said there would be peace on the peninsula, and they've grabbed onto it, and they believe what He said. Now, that's what I want to encourage you in this morning, is to keep believing what God said to you. You see, one of the major issues that we have to deal with is patience and time. God's promise has nothing to do with your time. It has to do with His time. And God is bringing about His purpose in your life, my life, and all of us. I even believe this morning as I say these things with my brother, who I love very closely, there's only 2 of us in the family, me and him. I believe that God has a plan for him that's not yet finished. And God is going to do it by His power because He's spoken things into his life. And we're called to believe like this because we are the seed of Abraham. Very, very important. The praying church in Korea is literally changing the world. And God wants to say something to us through it. And just through someone like me coming here this morning to help you understand that we walked in it and we saw it in the lives of these people. There were many, many that were there from North America. And they would walk up to some of the people from Korea and they'd say, "We hope that this works out between North and South Korea." And again, these people just about, they just about shake you. We are not hoping for this to work out. God told us this would work out. And we believe it in faith and we're walking in it to see it accomplished. Now, I personally believe that it's the praying church that's bringing the results that we're seeing in the world. Also at this gathering, they had asked all the politicians of South Korea to come to this gathering because they were recognizing Dr. Cho in the church at its 60th anniversary. And one of the main speakers, listen to me, one of the main speakers was the Israeli ambassador to South Korea. And he wasn't just he wasn't a messianic Jew. He was just a Jew. Just a a normal Jew that hadn't said he believed in Jesus. But he stood up and he spoke every word in favor of the church. And thanked the church worldwide for standing with Israel. It was amazing. And what I began to understand, that what's taking place there is more than just Korea. It's a world thing that God is doing. And God is looking for a people now who will wholly believe what He says. If God said you're healed, you're healed. If God spoke that into your spirit, you are healed. If God has said to you, you are free from torment in your mind, listen to me, church, you are free by faith in what Jesus has done. And God is working in us to help us to understand the great power of this. And I guess why I keep saying this here is because this church is built upon an understanding of the principle, which is the seed of Abraham and the purposes of God in life. I want to give you 3 points here that I believe what it means to be Abraham's seed. Number one, when you're Abraham's seed, you have faith in God. Faith in God. And that's extremely important to understand God's purposes in our lives and to walk in His plan and be the people that God wants us to be. Abraham understood obedience. He always was walking in obedience to what God had said. He knew he was sent and he went. Sent and went. You could be sent to this church. And I pray in Jesus' name that every person that knows they're sent to a place like this, we will do what God wants us to do. We will accomplish His plan and purpose. So obedience was extremely important in the life of someone who understood faith in God. Secondly, he was a man of praise. And I enjoyed the praise time again this morning. I think every so often this church should come back to a real celebration of praise over and over again and rejoice in the principle that God has given us, because those who have faith in God always praise Him in spite of the circumstance. No matter what the circumstance is, You are God Almighty, and we praise You with all our strength. Our voice, our hands, our feet, everything responds to God, and we lift You up for who You are. The principles of faith are important in God's plan. If you're going to have faith in God, there must be obedience and there must be praise. And of course, the third one is prayer. Abraham was always building altars. Everywhere he went, he built an altar to consult with God. And he understood that there must be a two-way communication to walk in the fullness and the purpose of God. So the uniqueness, number one, of the seed of faith that you and I are, is that we have total faith in God. Everybody say that with me. Faith in God. Do you agree? Number two, I hope you'll agree with this one. And Abraham demonstrated this. Faith in yourself. Faith in yourself comes after faith in God. Abraham would have never been able to do what God called him to do, what he heard in the promise, if he didn't believe that he was the one called to do it. He had to believe in himself. He had to believe that the promise came to him. And so do every one of us. We must believe that the promise has come to us. Amen. So number one, believe in God. Number one, believe in yourself. Turn to somebody. Would you just turn to somebody and just go like this. Believe in yourself. God brought you to this house. God brought you to the Jubilee. God set you in this place with purpose. Now, the only way that this gets out of hand is when people allow it to go so far in believing in themselves that they get proudful. And they start to think that they're better than somebody else. But the Spirit of God deals with that all the time in our spirit. In fact, if that comes in you, God will make sure He takes it out of you. Because God is not pleased with the spirit of pride. But He wants us to understand who we are. Hallelujah. I've learned that all the days of my life, and there's struggles with it sometimes. Because you want to so often feel like, well, I don't have the ability, I don't have the strength, I can't do what others can do, and I believe in everybody that's around me. But listen, you will never function as the seed of Abraham if you have that attitude. Some people always say, someone can do it better than me. But if you say that, you'll never be the seed of Abraham. Faith in God first, faith in yourself second. Jesus did this himself. I could turn you right now over to Philippians chapter 3 and show you the ways that Jesus subordinated himself, took a position lower than everybody, in total betrayal and rejection. He actually went to the point where he looked foolish in the eyes of people. He was willing to subordinate himself and lower himself to go the way of the death of the cross. Well, everybody said he died like a local criminal. And they rejected him by putting the crown of thorns in his head and beat him as though he was nothing. Hung him on a cruel cross. And he took it. He subordinated himself by choice to redeem you if you'd believe that he took your sin when he died. Oh, it's amazing. I get stirred every time I think about it. He subordinated himself, but he never gave up who he was. Never once. Now, Scripture begins by saying, who was in the form of God, he was always God. And he never gave up being who he was. He humbled himself by choice, but he always believed in his gift. This is the seed of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and number two, he believed in himself to accomplish it. Jesus, help me. Because it was through the hands of a human being like Abraham that God would work to bring multitudes of people to redemption. Now think about this for a moment. If you believe in yourself, the promise is for multitudes. I can't stop believing it. I can't stop, and I don't want you to stop. Keep believing for salvation. Keep believing for masses, for your family, for everyone to know Jesus. This is important. I hope I'm getting the message across. I hope I am. Listen to me. Three things come through the Abrahams and the seed of Abraham. Multitudes. And literally the wealth of the earth. Now see, people don't want us to say that because every demon in hell hates God's people coming to a place where they will possess what God's earth is all about and do the works of the kingdom of God. I personally believe we're moving toward a time when God is going to bless his people to be givers. And you won't need governments having to take money away from us in taxation to give to the poor. Because God's design was in the beginning that he would raise his people up and he would put the wealth in their hands and cause them to give. For giving is better than receiving. Are you getting what I'm saying? The only way that could be done in the earth is that God would have people who believed in themselves. It has to come through us. And God looks for a people who love to meet the need of others.
I hope we get it. The seed of Abraham, to believe we're the seed of Abraham, number one is faith in God. Number two, faith in yourself. Number three, you all know what it is, tell me. What do you think it is? Faith in God, faith in yourself, and faith in others. Right? Listen to me, church, this morning. To have faith in others, we have to believe in these deacons that were set in place. We stand in faith with one another. And there's no competition in the church because we believe God is going to bring many to do His purpose in His plan. We have faith in others. And that's necessary to bring about the divine purposes of God. And that causes us to be a people that will believe and care and love people until we see them come to God. And we will keep them and conserve them for the purposes of God, believing that they will go and do likewise what we are training them to do. And the church will be raised up in the ultimate purposes of God to be all that God wants us to be. So, if we are the seed of Abraham, and according to the scriptures we are, firstly, we have faith in God, right? Number two, faith in ourselves. And number three, faith in others. And I feel it this morning. I believe in you. I believe in this church. And God is doing something here that is powerful. The future's great. Because everyone is going to be involved in it together. I don't want to say any more about that because I don't want you to miss what I've said. Faith in God, faith in yourself, and faith in others will build the church strong. And that's what I saw these days over in Korea. And that's the real seed of Abraham. I was kind of amazed the other day with an event that took place where these 12 boys were trapped underwater. Were you? See, I think all things are speaking God's purpose and showing us God's ultimate purpose. 12 boys trapped under in the cave under the water. In fact, they were there for many days. They thought they had never heard from them, thought they were going to die, and then they were found, of course. Just think of the task. They were 4 kilometers back in the cave where they were found. They were 1.5 kilometers down in the ground. There were 99 divers from around the world that were involved in their rescue. 18 divers actually did the rescue while the others were willing to assist. Amazing. There were 70 support helpers who were placed along the place that they were to come out to help with what needed to be done. There were 3 divers that stayed with the boys for 8 days, 24 hours a day. Materials from around the world were used from everywhere, and the wealth of the world was used to bring them out. No one is afraid to use their wealth to bring the boys out. In fact, there were some millionaires that gave whatever was needed. I think this is very significant because this is new to our time, right? We're living in an age when things happen and the world gets involved in it. Tell you something, we're going to come to a time where the church is going to get involved. And we're going to assist one another to the purposes of God. This story was amazing to me because some of you may know, some of you may not. But I have, in my later life, done some scuba diving. So I thought about this incredible task that was taking place here, where they took over 8 days to train these boys to be able to scuba dive. And to bring them out and rescue them. And no one knew for sure or predicted that they would ever be saved. But I'm telling you, as you have heard already,
all of them were brought to safety. Because there were so many people that were involved in it together. Here's some principles that I had felt when I just kind of watched it because of the way the Lord spoke to me that happened. Number one, they were not in a rush. There was patience. Do you understand this, everybody? One of the greatest things we all learn in the walk with God is patience. They were not in a rush. Patient to get it right and set everything in place. Number two, they worked as one. Everyone did their part to accomplish the task. Number three, they were willing to work against all odds. And one person actually said they had a rescuer's heart. Number four, they were willing to let some take the lead. And others would sit back while others did the things that needed to be done. Number five, they had to be found before they could even do the rescue. And there was great effort to look. Are we looking for the lost? Do we look for them and speak to them to bring them to the love of Jesus? There were so many things that spoke to my spirit. Number six, the world's equipment was used, and there was no competition among anybody. The world's wealth was used. And one of these people that gave their wealth said this, "Money is not about what we save, but money is about what we give." Amen. Amen. Amen, everybody. Money is about what we give. What you save won't count for anything in heaven. You can pile it up as all you want. And when we go into the ground to meet our mighty God, our Maker, none of that goes with us. It's what you do for God that will last. And that's why God has been working in us for so long to bring about His purpose. Number eight, communications were shared. There were shared expertise all the time. Number nine, they had to believe they could do it, one person said. Number 10, they recognized that prayer around the world was being lifted up for these boys, and that's true. They did everything they could do. And lastly, number 12 I've written here, a 20-year-old volunteer lost his life to save the boys. Jesus gave His life to save you and all those around you. And what God looks for us to do today is to be what He meant us to be. He called us to be the seed of Abraham to see God's purposes brought in this hour. To accomplish a task like this that we watched taking place took these principles that I'm talking about. But God wants us to see it this morning. Everybody say it. Faith in God. Say it. Faith in yourself. And faith in others. Jubilee is bound for God's ultimate purposes as we trust in Him. Amen. Let's stand up, everybody.